We rise. The peace and rest which God gives be multiplied to you all through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from Psalm 4, and you can especially note the theme of this psalm coming through in the last verse, verse 8. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of Ben, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, who is our eternal rest, dear fellow redeemed. To begin with, I'd like to see a show of hands. Please raise your hand if you did not get a good night's sleep last night. Well, that was even more than I expected, and I think it's something we can all relate to, having difficulty sleeping, finding the rest we need. According to the National Sleep Foundation, nearly 7 out of 10 Americans experience frequent sleep problems. I think all of us can relate to this. What is the reason for the restlessness, and how can we fix it? At times, our restlessness is more than just a physical disorder. It's something that can't be cured by earthly medication. You see, the burden of sin has been laid upon us and often brings to us restlessness. More than just for our body, this is restlessness of our soul. This is something I think we could all raise our hands for. We look to God's Word today and we consider the Psalm of David that the Holy Spirit might lead us to rest. As we read in verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Get a good night's sleep for your soul. Rest in confidence and rest in peace. The National Sleep Foundation also notes that 1 out of 3 Americans are losing sleep over the economy. This relates to a lack of confidence, whether it's in the stock market, in your job, or in the government, there's a lack of confidence. And yet ultimately, what is it all tied to? Somewhere along the lines, we tend to have a lack of confidence in God. God promises to provide all we need for our body and life, everything. And yet still we worry. We take it on ourselves to carry our concerns. And we rely on our own will and wisdom to find the solutions to these concerns. God is trying to tell you something in this psalm. Whether it's the economy, your family, or your future, God is telling you to rest in confidence. What is truly the root cause for lost sleep for your soul? Restlessness rests in our attempts to carry God's demands for holiness. This is the ultimate cause of restlessness. How could we catch a wink of rest if all of God, the weight of God's law were to be on our shoulders every day? Surely a person could push this off A person could find distractions with other things in his life, or could water down what God actually expects of him. But still, there's going to come that time when every one of us are going to face the final sleep, the sleep of our soul in death. What confidence could we have to shut our eyes if we were going to open them to find a demanding God who says, "The soul that sins shall die"? This is the restlessness of a life without Christ, without that comfort, without that confidence. It's the tossing and turning that the world finds themselves in. We read verse 3, "But know that the Lord hath set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." Think about what it means to be set apart by God. It's almost equivalent to the word saint, which means that God has, when God calls you one of his saints, he means he has set you apart from the world and devoted you to God's righteousness. He's given you godliness before his presence. And so Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is the sweet rest of Jesus. God has revealed that you don't need to carry that burden. In fact, you never could. You never could meet the demands of God's holiness, keep all his commandments, and achieve heaven. No, God, Jesus had to carry that load of guilt in your place. He faithfully followed every one of God's commandments for you, so that this burden is completely lifted. And as the psalmist David says, "Put your trust in the Lord." God gives rest for your soul. It is faith. That's what Paul writes in Romans when he says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who declares righteous the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Faith is not something to achieve, it's something to receive, along with grace, righteousness, and eternal life. God gives it. And the only qualification he points out in Romans chapter 4 is that you must be ungodly. Therefore, every one of us has qualified for this righteousness that God gives to us by faith. And what is the result? The result is a good night's sleep, both in this world and the world to come. The result is rest from trying to meet God's holiness, which we never could. The rest comes to us in every struggle we face, knowing that God is with us. The psalmist David was obviously facing some serious persecution, as he says in verse 2, "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood?" The world wants to turn your glory into shame, meaning every time that you're bearing down under the burden of sin and remaining faithful to God, the world wants to twist this. It wants to change it into your shame. As we said earlier, 1 out of 3 Americans are losing sleep over the economy. Verse 6 says, "There are many who say, who will show us any good?" While financial stewardship is important, that we take care of what God's given us, we should never put it above our trust in God. We should never find ourselves struggling to find rest. May our concerns never rest in wanting more than we need. That is the world's shame. As it says in Psalm 127, we read, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." That's what the world is going after, an endless pursuit. But what does the psalm go on to say? "For so he gives his beloved sleep." God gives you sleep. He gives rest to those he loves. Indeed, Psalm 121 also says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper." Well, you go to rest, God goes to work. That's what it's all about. He does not sleep. He is endlessly protecting you from danger, assuring you that the economy is going according to his plan, and he will make sure you're taken care of, or whatever the concern you might have in your life. Because the real danger is to face these things without confidence in Jesus, to face death without confidence in Jesus, because Jesus is your rest. Just look at the empty tomb, which proves God's love for you. You can stand upon that empty cave, and in the midst of whatever is shaking loose in your life, it will not move. God's declaration of your everlasting life is given to you. It was hard for those disciples to get over their fears. We read in our sermon text how Jesus said to them in Luke, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet." That means in the midst of whatever's shaking loose, that's what we cling to. God's, Jesus' hands and his feet, proving to us that God has won the victory over every difficulty. We rest in confidence. What else did Jesus say to his disciples when he appeared to them? The very first thing, he said, peace. That is the rest he brings. That is rest from having confidence in him. My mom somehow ingrained on my mind the importance of getting 8 hours of sleep every night. Not seven, not nine, it was always eight. There is a very good reason for this, because it's in a good night's sleep that our body re-energizes. Our blood vessels loosen, our blood pressure goes down, and our body begins to restore itself. Tissues are healed, and we get the rest we need. It's peace for your body. Are you getting the rest you need? I know one individual who in college was trying to juggle two jobs, raise a family, and be a full-time student. And he would find that there was rarely a night where, he would get more than a few hours of sleep for that period of his life. Later in life, he found that this had taken its toll, and he began to have insomnia. He just couldn't rest. Now that he had the time to, his mind continued to be racing all the time, thinking about everything that's going on. He couldn't find that peace for his body because he had developed bad sleep habits. How many sleepless nights has your soul suffered? What kind of bad sleep habits do we tend to bring upon ourselves by not going to the right place for the rest we need? It's not just trouble sleeping at night, but it leads to trouble with your faith, which is the place where you find rest. It leads to trouble in your relationships. It leads to those bad sleep patterns down the road. Paul says in David says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." It was the Apostle Paul that quoted this in the New Testament when he said, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Forbes.com lists among 14 reasons you're not sleeping. Among them is marital strife that the world experiences, or that maybe you've experienced at one time or another. What's ultimately the cause of restlessness in a marriage? So often it is just the opposite of what Paul says. It's that we let the sun go down on our anger. We let day after day go on with leaving things unresolved with those we love. We fail to look to that love of Christ that binds up, that reconciles, that continues to look for repentance and forgiveness before the sun goes down and the next day rolls on and we sweep it under the rug. In any strife, whether it's marital, whether it's work, whether it's your parents, we find, be angry and do not sin. It's in our flesh to be angry. We just can't help it. But what David is encouraging you to do is not to act out on it, not to carry it onward or let it boil up, not to ignore it, not to let the sun go down on your wrath. Be still and see the length of your Savior's sacrifice, who when he was still nailed to the cross by his enemies said, "Father, forgive them." Make this your own. You've been forgiven of all of those outbursts of anger, of wrath, all those restless times of unfaithfulness. You've been reconciled to God. You have peace. So maybe it has been, as we saw with the raise of hands, not too long since you've struggled through a night's sleep. Maybe you went to bed restless with many things on your mind, whether it's sickness or trouble with a loved one in your life. Maybe it's a difficult time that you're going through. All these things are a result of discord in your life. Something's missing. You're not finding that peace. It's an ongoing war in your life. David prays, verse 6, "Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us." That's where peace is found. The light of the Lord's countenance. It describes his face being lifted up upon you, his presence being all around you. And where do we find that? Every time we come to this divine service of God and he brings us his word, his presence is upon us. It's all around us. Every time we have devotions at home on a regular basis, his presence is around us. It's on us. And the more we get away from that, the more we develop bad sleep habits. But he lifts up his presence every Sunday as we, in the end of the service, have the benediction. Where, what do we say? Lift up your countenance upon you and give you peace. God's word is where your burdens are lifted, where you find out what God really thinks about you and your life. "You have put gladness in my heart," David says. God's word assures you of that gladness when Jeremiah writes of the thoughts of God. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think to you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." On many gravestones, we read the letters R.I.P., which stands for rest in peace. The day is coming where your rest will be complete, where this endless struggle will actually end, where your body will be given a new perfection, transformed into immortality, where the resurrection becomes real, and God takes away every restless worry you have ever had. As we read from the book of Revelation of this end of times, Revelation chapter 14, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works will follow them.'" Whether you The end of your life comes today, tomorrow, or in 90 years, this is your rest. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you so you can have eternal rest. Verse 8, "I will both lie down in peace, knowing my sins are forgiven, and sleep, knowing God is with me. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Come unto me, ye weary, and I will give you rest. O blessed voice of Jesus, which comes to hearts oppressed." It tells of benediction, of pardon, grace, and peace, of joy that hath no ending, of love which cannot cease. Get a good night's sleep for your soul. Amen.